A look at the Hart Bridge crossing the St. John's River, just over the river into downtown Jacksonville, Everbank Field. This is Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. J.P. Shadrick, Brian Sexton, John Osier. We'll take you right up to Gus Bradley's 1 o'clock press conference the day after the Jags fall in Indy in overtime, 16-13, the final. Let's start off, guys, with the breaking news. Just a few moments ago, the team announcing that Brandon Linder, the Jaguars' right guard, will be placed on injured reserve, a torn labrum in his left shoulder. He'll go under the knife. Another injury issue for this Jaguars team, and now affecting really the best offensive lineman on the team.
Well, and the difference here, obviously, is this one's permanent. Because it's not one of those you come back from. It's a season-ending IR. And it involves, as you said, maybe the best offensive lineman, maybe the best overall player the Jaguars have right now. If there's a silver lining, it's that A.J. Can seems to have handled himself well yesterday in his place. It's a position where there is some depth by design, but it's still your best guy, so it has to hurt.
This is a prime example of why you take the best player on the board on draft day. They said, Dave Caldwell said, after they drafted Cam, they didn't expect him to be there, sitting where he was. They had him with a second-round grade. He lasted till the third, and they took him. It's why you do that, because injuries like Brandon Linder's, I mean, after the game that he had against Sue, who knew that he, you know, on a practice field he could get hurt? You never know.
Right.
So you take the best available player, and the Jags, since they did, have Cam, who, as you alluded to, played pretty well.
And they still have Tyler Shatley there, so you're still not in a world of trouble if there's another injury in there. So, you know, at the same time, let's not just dismiss it. He's a very good player, now misses 12 games, or it's, the final 13 games. And at some point, you would think it's got to affect the running game. But yesterday, Jaguars, I thought, ran the ball pretty well.
They did, and that's what Cam does. He's got that kind of power. And I talked to Jeff Lagerman, who has had almost every injury known to a football player earlier today. and it was before they announced that Linder was getting close to being put on IR. So I said, yeah, how long could you go? Could he wait until January? Could he try to play later in the year? I mean, how long do you need to recuperate so that you can be ready to play? He said if he had the surgery in January, it's a 5 to 6 month process. He should be able to be back. You'd watch him during training camp. You know, it's like Stefan Wisniewski had shoulder surgery too. So, you know, the good news is that a good surgical procedure, and he should be able to get back to full strength.
And it's an injury where there are different levels. Wisniewski had it late last year and was able to play through it. But obviously Linder, he played through it against New England. And then after Wednesday of last week, it was just clear that it was not getting better and not going to be able to do it.
Go ahead and clean it up now. He's the future right guard. He's the right guard here hopefully for a long time. So go ahead and get it cleaned up now and move on as best you can.
And just to look into the camera, he's a terrific football player. I don't know whether people pay attention to the right guard enough, and I don't know whether we've done enough on him. The guy's a terrific football player.
Absolutely.
Let's get to yesterday's game. The you know, there's a lot of ways to go with this game yesterday. The offense shut out in the second half, five punts, the missed field goal at the end. You could talk about the missed field goals, the two game winners that could have been. The defense had moments where they played well, other moments where they were undisciplined with penalties. Where do you want to start here, guys, with this game?
It was actually more fun talking about the guy going on IR.
The thing I have the most regret for is that, you know, if not for a couple of really inopportune penalties or poor plays, right, where the ball is thrown backward, first and 10 at their 40-yard line, and the ball doesn't even get up to the quarterback's hands, all of a sudden you're second and 25. If not for those, and the missed field goals too, we would be talking about a quarterback who had his best game, or maybe one of his best games.
It'd be a scrappy effort.
Yeah, we'd be talking about Allen Hurns and 11 catches. We'd be talking about some big plays down the field. We'd be talking about a lot. Running about T.J. Yeldon,
You're talking about first place. Yeah, you'd be talking about all those things.
Well, and that's it. We would have changed the narrative. Instead of it's the same Jaguars. You know, they lost. They found a way to lose a game they probably should have won, which we've said a lot around here. We would have changed the narrative, and we'd be talking about 2-2 and headed to Tampa in first place in the division. That's the part that is the most difficult to come to grips with this morning in a game that they should have won.
And I think anything you alluded to is what's most maddening. It is a game they should have won. It shouldn't have been close enough at the end for Myers' kicks to matter. Right. That doesn't excuse him. In this league right now, you have to hit 53 and 48-yard game-winning field goals. 53, but a 48, you got to hit it. And the thing that's tough to grasp and tough to try to analyze is they did all of the things that you had expected them to have to do to win. Blake Bortles played, I thought it was clearly his best half since he's been here. And at halftime, you were walking around the press box going, this guy might be pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a game where, you know, 14 of 18, he'd been 14 of 16 at one point. It was all the things that you thought he could do. He was loose. He had had the ball fake where he, you know, cleared a receiver coming across the middle.
Sure.
You had Yeldon rush well. You had Hearns. You were doing it without Thomas and Lee. And then somehow in the second half, six times inside the 50, no points. It's mind-boggling.
Well, and JP, you know, look, last year this team averaged less than five penalties a game. And in the first three games this year, they only had 19 for just over six penalties a game. They go get 13. I mean, it was just sloppy, and that's not what we had come to expect.
And there were some, you know, in terms of the penalties, if you really break down each penalty, some of the pass interference on the drive that led to the touchdown, it could have gone either way. The Chris Clemens,
well, you're gonna
That's a football play.
I don't know how you avoid it.
Yeah. Right, so there's that stuff.
Yeah, but how about
at the same time it happened?
Well, so it's Jeremy Parnell holding on what would have been first and 10 at the Colts 23-yard line on the opening drive of the third quarter. Instead, now you're backed up to first and 20 at the 48.
And he had a 15-yarder by Yeldon where he looked like he was going.
Yeah.
He automatically feel, and
if you get a touchdown there, you probably win.
And that's the difference. One key difference is this time last year, we were sitting here most Mondays talking about the Jaguars weren't competitive. Well, now two of the three Monday losses, we've been talking about how in the world could they let that happen to lose the game. So that's closer, and yet it almost feels worse.
So you're saying it's part of the journey?
You know, you hope so.
Yeah. I mean, you hope that you get through this.
Yeah, you hope this isn't the thing.
Well, you hope, you know, you wonder if that's just the next thing you check off the boxes. You know, as you work your way through the process, this is one of those games where you're just – and it's a breakthrough moment. I mean, they had those games, and you and I both know from 96.
Well, and that's what I was going to compare it to, Brian. The Rams game and the Saints game that year, and old-timers probably remember this because I'm an old-timer, where they outplayed the opponent, and you looked at the stat sheet.
For the first time
went,
in their history.
Yeah, and you went, how in the world could they lose this game? And then it was little things. It was little plays here and there. But the other reality of this league is most games are about a few plays to get made because it's usually close. And when you don't make those plays and lose, then you're a 1-3 team, and you're not a 3-1 team, and that's and there's no other way to sugarcoat it.
Say it one more time. We could be sitting here talking about a lot of really good things, if not for what John just mentioned, a couple of plays.
We'll take you right up to Gus Bradley's press conference, scheduled for 1 o'clock. We'll carry it live right here on Jaguars.com, so stay tuned. What did you guys think of Gus after the game yesterday? What was his feeling?
I wasn't there. I was in the locker room.
John,
you know, you could see frustration, and you could see what, you know, and when fans hear Gus say we're close, it just burns him up, and I get it. And, but you could see why he said it yesterday. You could see because, again, I go back to the second half where you had 11 first downs and you only had 1-3 and out. And you got a feeling watching the game time and time again, you went, hey, they're moving.
Yeah.
And then they didn't score. And so as a coach, when you're trying to process that in a 10-minute period and you come out and you're looking for the right a way to frame it, I get how he framed it that way. At the same time, if I'm a fan reading Twitter and you see the Ozone tweet out, Gus says we're just didn't finish, I understand why I got the responses I did.
Here's what I can tell you. I was walking through the locker room and I heard somebody say, Gus went on a rant. Or I thought I heard so, and it got me, right? And I went, oh, Gus went on a rant. I can't wait to see it. No, they said, Gus went already. I just misheard it.
Okay,
right?
Yeah.
But that's the point. Yeah. I thought, wow, you know, that's not what he does. He's the most consistent coach out there when it comes to staying on message. A rant would have been very interesting.
And that doesn't mean he's happy with what's going on. And I understand that fans want to see the do your job guy from the YouTube video.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the messages he's going to send because he knows no matter what fans want to see that'll make him feel better, as soon as a coach starts behaving in a way that's not him, he's done.
Well, and look, he is consistent right now as this thing is not going in the right direction. The good news is that he'll be consistent when it is, and that's what you look for in a head coach. That's what players look for in a head coach. They want to know exactly what they're getting from their coach.
But it's got to get going in the right direction.
No, I'm not taking away from that.
Yeah.
And I'm not suggesting that he's saying all the right things right now. But he's being consistent. And hey, look, Coughlin was consistent, right? And the players, even though they didn't like it, they respected it. Jack Del Rio was up and down and up and down, and the players couldn't deal with it. With this guy, you were at least, when you walk in the door, you know what you're going to get. We know what we're going to get, right?
Yeah, sure.
So do the players, and that's not a bad thing when this thing is going the right direction.
But at some point, Brian, and I know you're feeling this too, the close, which the closer is what we're seeing, and now you're seeing the mistakes, the drops against Carolina, the clear mistakes yesterday. At some point, if it's going to go from a young team that's bad to a young team that's improving, those things have to get cleaned up, and you just wonder when that's going to come.
Well, and I thought yesterday was the perfect opportunity for that. I still don't think the Colts have a very good roster. They have an amazing quarterback. And I thought yesterday was the opportunity to make the plays, to overcome the mistakes, to put together that game. In the first half, the way they were moving the ball, I thought today they ought to win 28-10.
It sort of felt like that, but then when they only had 13 at the half, you kind of got that little feeling like when you didn't study for the test.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's like, this is going to come back to haunt you.
I remember getting on the bus and saying to somebody, no Andrew Luck today. You got to get this one. And then afterwards, no Andrew Luck today. They didn't get that one.
Right.
Holy cow. Right? That was an opportunity that was missed. And that, I understand why people are upset. I mean, I got it this morning at the grocery store. I totally get that. You got to get through it.
A lot of focus will be on the kicker this week. Jason Myers, first-year kicker out of Marist College, missed the two-game winners. Not very often you get a chance for a one-game winner in the NFL. He got a chance for two-game winners and missed them both. Where's his head going to be this week?
Well, you hope it's the same place it was after Carolina, which he had two misses where it could have shaken him up, and he came back and hit a big one against Miami. I didn't think yesterday that the two kick – I've seen situations where at the end of a game, a guy just can't handle it, and from 48, 53 yards, it's over, you know, it's
two
over
sections
the seat
over.
Somewhere.
Right, yeah, sure.
That, it didn't feel like he tightened up. It felt like he missed. Doesn't matter. Same result.
Well, I mean, a walk-off game winner in a big divisional game that everybody expects you to win, there's some pressure with that. And, you know, he missed the first one but got the break with the timeout. And then that one was just narrowly right, and then the other one was left, and I thought, okay. You know, I mean, there were some nerves there. He was trying to pull it. He was trying to make sure that it didn't go right this time, so it went left. Now, afterwards, I want to give him credit. You know, there are a lot of players that would have gotten dressed quickly and got to the bus.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't. He was dressed, and he was waiting for us to come and talk to him. And he answered the questions truthfully. And, you know, people, you don't know this because you're not in the locker room all the time, but there's a lot of guys that would run from that.
Right.
And so credit to him for standing and doing that.
And there wasn't much that he could say. You know, you miss a kick, you miss a kick. He said he aimed it down the middle. The first one drifted right, second one drifted left. But, yeah, credit to him for standing in there because – a lot of guys wouldn't.
There were a lot of teams bringing in kickers. I guess yesterday was the day of the kicker.
Sure,
there were plenty of missed opportunities. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't do that with this kid yet. I mean, he's got – when he lined up from 53, I thought, oh, this kid's got the leg, right? You know, when he lined up from 58 against Carolina or Miami, I thought, oh, this kid's got this.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the leg, right? And I think, you know, from what we saw in the preseason, he's pretty accurate too.
Yeah.
The fans were on him. I was standing right there as he was warming up. They were all over him, and he just coolly, calmly kept going. It's just, boy, he's going to be a talent at some point, I think.
Well,
I would give him a little bit more time before you start knee-jerking around thinking, where's a veteran over the hill, off a roster guy to come in and help me?
Dave Caldwell said before the season he knew there were going to be misses, have to stick it through. I don't think they expected this twice in four games.
No.
But it's put to the test now.
I didn't expect it twice in 10 minutes.
In one game, right. Yeah, for sure. Jaguars.com Live presented by Everbank. Gus Bradley's press conference coming up at 1 o'clock, scheduled time. We'll go to that live when Gus gets ready to talk. The big news today, though, Brandon Linder will be placed on injured reserve, the Jaguars' right guard. That was announced just a few minutes ago, and he'll miss the remainder of the season with a torn labrum in his left shoulder. How about some positives from yesterday's game? Offensively, Allen Hurns playing through some stuff physically. 11 catches, 116 yards, a touchdown. Just continues to be that consistent guy on offense.
Well,
guys.
And again, that's what's so frustrating about the results.
Yeah.
And in that sense, Brian, it does remind me a touch of 96 because they started off good offensively that year and couldn't quite put it in. So Allen Hurns credit, big credit to the offensive line, which even without Linder has played pretty well. So there's stuff.
You're right, John.
Let's go down the hall. Gus Bradley's Monday press conference on Jaguars.com.
So we'll just go through this real quick. As we just pointed out with Brandon Linder, he suffered a labral tear in his left shoulder prior to the New England game. With continued symptoms, Brandon will be undergoing surgery to repair the injury. He'll be placed on IR in the next couple of days in the near future. With Puz, he has a high ankle sprain and will be evaluated further this week. Aaron Colvin re-aggravated that same shoulder and will continue to rehab throughout the week. With James Sample, he has a shoulder contusion, was going through some pain and weakness with his range of motion. That's why he was unable to come back into the game. MRI following the game showed no significant damage. For Sanderic, he continues to progress well from his knee injury, and his practice activity will be increased this week. Game status for Sunday's game will be updated on Friday. For Julius, he's undergoing a test today to determine if he'll be cleared for catching with his right hand. So we'll have that for you on Wednesday. For Sergio Brown, he'll see an increased practice load as he comes back from that calf strain. He continues to progress well. For Denard, he continues to progress with rehab from his knee injury. Same for Marquise with the rehab for the hamstring. And then with John Latulele, he was diagnosed with a concussion after he reported symptoms following the game. He will undergo the NFL's concussion return to play protocol.
Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, what's up? Okay. This is a tough game to watch. I think we had a great opportunity yesterday and with our team and the way we wanted to approach it and go about it, and truly felt we missed it. It got away from us, and it's very disappointing. At the end of regulation, you know, speaking defensively first, I'll try to go through, you know, the truth like I always do with you. I think as I looked at the defense at the end of regulation, I see 1.5 yards per rush. I see 5.4 yards per attempt in the pass and 8.2. Those numbers are outstanding. Caused 3 fumbles, recovered 2 of them, 3 sacks, and it feels like we're back to what we envisioned. The aggressive, the challenging style of defense that we wanted to play and how we attacked the run. Offensively, we established the run. I was pleased to see that we got back to that. We were aggressive. I loved in the beginning how we piggybacked explosive plays, threw a deep one to, or got an explosive play with Hurns, piggybacked it again with another one to A-Rob. You know, we moved the ball. Guys were making plays. I thought guys played with freedom, our receivers especially. Special teams, 6 punts inside the 20. Coverage units did well. Brian Walters went in there, substituted for Nick, did a good job. And Jason Meyer initially was 1 for 1 and 2 for 2. But, you know, now back to missing opportunities. There's something that's, you know, there's self-inflicted wounds that are hurting us badly. I look at one drive defensively. They had a 13-play, 80-yard drive, and I think we had 5 penalties for 42. Over half the yardage came in penalties. And it's self-inflicted wounds. You know, some are aggressive, some are defensive holding, but decision-making and these penalties, you know, good teams consistently don't have even a series like that. So far too many penalties in that situation. Thought there was some alignment and communication errors, although they were the numbers were down versus the week before, but still not good enough where we want to be. Offensively, we moved the ball. But the issue is this. In the first half, I think we had 1st and 10 on the 6. We had 1st and 10 on the 13. We had 1st and 10 on the 16 and came away with 2 field goals and a touchdown. We've got to score more points than that. Second half where we struggled, again, I think we had 6 opportunities or 5 opportunities when we crossed the logo from the 50 in. One time was 1st and 10 on the 47, on the 50, on the 40, on the 44, on the 32, moving the ball. And then we stalled, came away with those 5 possessions with no points. And that's what's disappointing. And it's self-inflicted wounds again. Botched snap, not handling it right, penalties, getting a 15-yard run, getting down the 23-yard line and a holding call. Those types of things we've got to clean up. And it comes back to being disciplined and staying focused throughout. And those are some of the issues that we're dealing with right now. I think the guys recognize it, but in order for us to go where we want to go, we've got to clean those issues up from our game.
You've been coming in. We've been listening for 2 years after a Monday after a game. This seems a little more edge to you today. Is that a little more pissed?
Yeah, disappointing because we didn't miss it. I'm probably a little confused, just like our fan base is. When you see good plays, when you see big plays, when you see guys were taking shots and guys making plays, and it feels more like ball, it feels like it should, and then you don't see the consistency and the ability to stay the whole drive, have a 13-play drive where you finish it with a touchdown. Where's that part of the game? I think that's what's disappointing right now, and we got to do it. I like our playmakers. I like T.J. Yeldon. I like our receiving core, our offensive line. We got to find a way to do it consistently.
What do you lose offensively without Linder?
Well, I mean, he's obviously a big part of that offensive line, his mentality and what he brings in his leadership. But I thought A.J. did a nice job. There were some things, there's a few mistakes, which, are going to happen. But overall, the strength and his toughness that we thought he would bring, he really showed.
Yeah, you thought his skill set at right might be better at right guard. You mentioned that it suits him. Did that bear out when you
Yeah, it did. Snaps? It did. Like I said, I think the first sack, there was a mistake there, the one that they got. So on occasion you saw those, but he played fast throughout the game, and he played aggressively throughout the game.
How was he in the run game?
Good. Our run game, I thought it was good. I think it can be even cleaned up even more. I think as we watched it with the offensive staff and evaluated some things, I think it's good. It's a good progress, but I think it can be even better.
Throughout 38 games, your offense has averaged basically 15.5 points every single throughout literally your entire tenure. How frustrating is that after bringing in a new offensive coordinator and having 1 year of development from most of the offensive weapons? How frustrating is that?
Well, it is. Yeah, I mean, we'd all like to score 30 points or 25 points, and when you see production in moving the ball, but the finish isn't there, or taking advantage of opportunities, or these self-inflicted wounds, that's frustrating. It's very frustrating for our coaches and the players. And, we've got to get over that hump. I think there's a general sense that we're making progress with the team. I think they feel like we're making strides, but we're not there yet, obviously.
Myers, or do you look around to kicking competition?
No, I think when we first signed Jason, and I think we made that decision, we knew that there was going to be some waves, I think, that we are going to have to go through. I like his mentality. We're very confident in him. He had an unfortunate day yesterday. He started off 1-for-1, 2-for-2, but in that heightened environment, it didn't work out for us. But I think the confidence comes with his demeanor and mentality. And we know with a younger kicker like this, he's going to go through some of these situations.
How much more of these waves are you willing to put up with? Because losing an AFC South division game is a pretty big wave.
With the team now? You're talking about? Yeah.
I mean, will you tolerate him missing another potential game-winning kick?
Well, I think you evaluate it week to week, with everybody on our team, you compete and you've seen some changes taking place, but and he's no different. But as far as his mentality, his competitiveness, his demeanor, we just have great faith in him. And listen, there was mistakes made out there by multiple players. They took their turns, and his was more visual. I mean, everybody saw it. And, I think we just have faith in his demeanor and what he's all about and what he has done in practice and in some of the games.
Is there a thinking that if you bring someone in to compete with him that you'll mess his head up?
No, I don't think so. I think it's, if it happened repeatedly, where game after game, I mean, he comes into Miami, he kicks it, we win the game. This was unfortunate. It's, that it happened, it's actually three misses, right? To be honest with you, because the one was a timeout. So, he's got to learn from it. And, we'll see, how it works out. But I do believe in him. I like his mentality. It's one of the big reasons why we went with him. And, I want to stick with that part of it.
Linder, playing the New England game, did that make the injury worse?
or had he did he tear the labrum in practice?
I don't know if it made it worse. I just think that he, going through it, he felt like, you know, for him to play, what he was going to have to deal with the whole year. I think it was more than that. So I don't think it made it worse.
Did you see his effectiveness limited greatly against the Patriots?
Not so much. I know in talking to him, he felt like he was limited in some things he wanted to do.
Is Cam definitely the guy there then? And what's happened with Luke Bowenko? I know he's played guard.
Yeah.
I mean, it just seems like he was a starter last year. Now he's like seventh or eighth.
Right, right. Yeah, I would say AJ is the guy there. I would think that between him and Shatley, we really like how Shatley's come. Bowenko gives us the flexibility, the tackle, the guard, the center, and, you know, kind of fits that role for us. And he's progressing. We're trying to get him more reps at tackle than on the inside, knowing that we could come back to it with some injuries.
Do you foresee his future as a tackle?
Bowenko?
Bowenko, yeah.
I would say that's yet to be determined. Let's see how he progresses at tackle. He seems to be coming along pretty good. We're trying to speed it up for him. But I'd say that's yet to be determined.
So guys played more freedom yesterday.
Well, I think that I look at like the receivers. You know, if you go back to the first game, I was analyzing things and, you know, thinking too much. I got to make this catch or else. They just played yesterday. And, I think they've kind of done that the last couple weeks. You know, A-Rob, I think, is showing his abilities that we see in practice. What you see in practice, some of the plays he made, you're seeing on the game field. And I couldn't say that the first game. So I think they're playing with more confidence is probably the better word, you know, as a group.
Do you think the staff and the players are on the same page in this offense? Do you think it actually has an identity right now?
Well, I think it's a work in progress. I do. To say that it's like a well-oiled machine with, you know, we've been together for 7-8 years, and, you know, no, it's not that. But it's I'm seeing good signs, but also to be real, I've seen some signs that are disappointing, you know, to have the ball and be able to move the ball. I mean, it's what we have 38 seconds or 45 seconds, and we got to move the ball, and we move it 38 yards to get a field goal in 45 seconds. I mean, it has the capabilities. We're just not seeing it consistently. You know what? He did a pretty good job. He was, there was a first third down. I think he got out leveraged to the flat. You know, and they ended up getting 14 or 15 yards. But I thought he settled down after that and did a pretty good job. The big thing with him was his run fits. Just a few, alignment errors. And, but he'll learn from that. But I thought overall for getting thrown in like he did a pretty good job.
High ankle strain. He's not coming back this week, Paz, so this kid's going to play.
Yeah, he'll have to play if Puz isn't ready. You know, I don't know. We'll see with Puz. You know, if it's a traditional high ankle sprain, I would agree. I don't know how traditional of a high ankle sprain it is. And then couple that with Puz's mentality. I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
Is Allen Robinson having to go through that process of learning how to be the focal point of, I guess, coverage is now teams trying to take him away? It's a process that young guys have to go through. Is he struggling with that?
Or I think so. Or seeing different styles of coverages, press, and, you know, different, you know, coverages. I saw it, you know, yesterday, I think at the end in the third quarter, they started putting Davis over on him. But Hearns had 8 catches right away, you know. So I think they both have capabilities. They're different in what they present as far as issues to a defense. And I think whatever the defensive coordinator is out to do, hey, we want to limit catches or we want to limit explosive plays, you know, as they watch them, they learn more about them. So I think both those guys will have to know that, hey, teams will start game planning and try to take away their strengths.
Would you, now that Marquise is hurt and you're dealing with, you know, Brian Walters, Tony Washington, and you wish that you guys maybe had gone a little more aggressively after some veteran receivers?
Well, I think we did, you know, in free agency. It didn't work out with the one. But, you know, we'll see. I like I said, I like those two guys. I think Tony Washington adds a dimension, although he didn't get much playing time. Brian Walters is what he is. He's a guy that you can really trust. And when his number's called, he makes plays. I think he showed that yesterday. So he really plays within himself very well. So we got different styles of receivers. And, you know, we just got to develop them to be number ones or develop them to be number twos or whatever their potential is.
Walters remain the punt returner, though?
No, I think Nick went back in there, I believe. I think he went back in there, so we'll keep looking at that.
You got one guy's a rookie who fumbled one, the other guy's caught punts in the Super Bowl. Is an experience a factor?
Well, I think that at the very end of the game, I think you saw that Brian Walters did it. The one to Nick's credit, the punter was punting, you know, 55 yards, so we had him back, and with the pressure that we brought, I think it was a 36-yarder, so Nick had to run up there to try to avoid it bouncing and gain another 20 yards, so he'll learn through that. But, you know, that was part of the issue with that one.
You're sticking with Nick then?
Yeah, but, like I said, I think you'll see them both, like I mentioned last week, but probably more Nick.
With Linder, would the target for him to be training camp next year with this kind of an injury, for him to be back to full strength?
I'm not sure. Without knowing, I was hoping earlier. Yeah, I mean, some of these guys. No, I haven't talked to him about the time frame yet.
So were you surprised that it was year ending, or had they given you some other reports last week, say, hey, maybe a couple weeks on Linder?
Not going into New England, I knew the issues that he was dealing with, but he felt like he could play through it. I think it was, you know, similar to Wiz, because Wiz had a shoulder injury last year and played 5-6 games with it. So I know they had a lot of conversation about it. But I just think with Linder's, you know, what he experienced in the game, it just felt like, you know, it was maybe to a greater extent.
Optimistic Julius will be able to catch passes this week. They don't get cleared.
Well, we've got one more hurdle, you know, and so we'll find out. Hopefully by the time Wednesday we have a clearer picture. But, yeah, I think we're hoping that, you know, he's ahead of recovery time. Everything so far, there's been no setback. So we'll see. You know, he was out there running around last week without catching the ball. Hopefully they clear him to start doing that.
With Jason, and do you plan to at any time between now and when?
I did not talk to him in the game. I did not.
I'm talking about since you get back.
Yeah, I talked to him in the locker room just real quick, you know, just said, hey, it happens, man, and you just got to stay strong, and what your demeanor and mentality is all about. Now, utilize that trait that you have. And he really is strong-minded. It didn't show it in those last two kicks, but he really is. His demeanor and his mentality, I think, is what you're looking for. And, you know, there's going to be mistakes. It's just this one is, like you said, it was in a great opportunity and an opportunity that would have been a great win for us. And
if I can just follow up, you said he didn't show it on those last two kicks, but that's when he has to show it.
Right.
When you're in the moment. If he shows it in practice and he shows it, you know, in preseason games, that's fine. But if he doesn't do it in the clutch moments,
right,
do you a lot of good.
Right. I think it's the consistency. And, you know, it's two kicks that he missed, although they're huge kicks. But it's a big body of work that we're looking at. And we know that, you know, mistakes might be made. And, you know, we had some plays missed, you know, with other players on the field. So I think you come to know that the game is not going to be perfect. There's going to be mistakes. And then you learn how to deal with it from there. And but when it's at critical times like this in a heightened environment, that's what you hope that kickers come through. And he's young. Sometimes it takes some time for these guys to learn that part. But, you know, hopefully not too much time.
How do you think the offensive line did in general with AJ and just the unit as a whole?
I thought they did pretty good. Like I said, I think there's things that we can clean up with the run. I think the protections were pretty good. When there was an issue with protections, it was through communication. The one that was free hitter on Blake. There was one off the edge where we had a communication issue. So it was more because of communication than ability. So, you know, those things, again, it comes back to discipline and focus. The penalties, the communication, those things are what are our issues right now.
Played better in the box.
I thought he did. I thought he did. I thought he tackled better. I thought that he played aggressively coming back from what he did. You know, he was down the box. I thought he really saw a bigger picture. I saw him make a couple plays that I don't know if he would have made last year. So I think that awareness is coming with it, and it just felt like he played at a higher comfort level, and I think he had the production, you know, we're looking more from him.
Played more in the box than probably now?
Well, he's always played in the box, but some of the things that we had him do yesterday were a little bit different, closer to it maybe.
After watching the tape, how drastically different was Blake in the first half and in the second half?
Yeah, it's a good question. He was. I think he was, 14 for 18 or something in the first half. I think, you'd say, boy, he really played consistently in the first half, and you lost some of that, became more inconsistent. Well, I think there was at times in both. I think there were some inconsistencies in the first half, too, where he missed his reads. We keep challenging him to give these guys opportunities to catch the ball and go for it. And you're seeing more of that. But in the second half, there was some. He had one series, I think he was, 3 for 7. There was a drop. And then he had 2 pressures on him. And, but I think we're still, looking for consistency from him. He made some really good plays, But, it's like we complete, and then we have an incomplete, and then we run the ball, and then we got to convert on third down. It's complete, and then it's incomplete. That's what took place in the second half. We're looking to string them together more often than not, and I think that's with just his poise and decision-making and becoming more consistent.
On these penalties on defense, if this continues, do you start pulling guys out of the game?
Well, I think it's yeah, you're right. I think especially when they all occurred in one drive. That many and some, like I said, with the aggressiveness that we're going to play on the perimeter, you're going to see some defensive holdings in a game, with our corners. But I think that it's the number that's shocking and that they came all in a row in one series. That's what you can't have. And, that's where it showed up. Offensively, we had one penalty in the first half. It was a false start. Well, you shouldn't have any false starts. In the second half, we had a false start, a holding, and a alignment error, right? Illegal formation. The illegal formation, we shouldn't have that. That's controllable. The false start, we should take care of that, too. The holding, there's going to be a holding or two. It just happened at a critical time. We crossed the 50 after a long run, so it jumps out at you even more. But I think with our team, you might have mentioned before, we're having far too many. Like last year, you said there were some second 15s, first and 20s. You know what? That's what it felt again like yesterday. We had some of those situations creep up again where we got to gain positive yards on first down and continue to do that. That started to creep back into the game.
Ryan Davis has played between 16, 20 snaps a game all the way through. You need to find ways to get him on the field more if he can be productive.
Right. Like I said, he plays special teams in third downs, and we'll see the production, out of the Leo unit right now. We've got 2 guys that are playing quite a bit. So, to keep him productive on third down, I'm sure we'll visit about it, but I don't know if you'll see any change in the future.
Are these lulls on offense? I know I keep going back to offense, but that just seems to be what caused this game to kind of from half to half change.
Right. No, I agree. The lull is what we're talking about. Is when you have opportunities to cross the 50 and score, you got to take advantage of it. And at times we move the ball, but that's what good teams do. They don't have many of those lulls.
Is there more concern about a hangover effect on a loss like New England or like Indy?
Both are tough, man. It's tough. It really is. I think that games like these, they really challenge your conviction and, and how you want to approach it. I do know that, it might be where everybody wants us to become negative, but I know becoming negative isn't going to work. It's not. Challenging our guys and demanding that we do things right and are disciplined and focused, that's what we need. And we're going to do that. We need to do that. I felt like we were doing that, but it's not showing up. And in this game, it bit us a little bit. So, I think that's, more of our approach.
You said after the game, it was great to be a part of this game.
Well, so, I think by that, Vito, I said it was a great game. It was a hard-fought game. I do appreciate the fact that the week before was not fun. We got beat bad against New England, and that was disappointing. And for a team to come back and fight and give us an opportunity to win the game at the end of the first half, it's unbelievable effort. But we're not doing enough good things. Was it a hard-fought game? Yes, it was. Is it a game that I love to go through? And no, we lost, and that's our primary objective, is to win. We have ways to go about it, but I'm not going to take away that it was a better game than it was the week before, I'm sure, you know, for people to watch.
I assume you looked at the red zone struggles pretty extensively. I mean, they kind of go back over a couple of years with different players.
Sure.
So what's, can you put your finger on what the one common denominator is there, the one thing that's really causing the issues?
Well, you know, that's, you know, right now after four games, I know offensively we're going to meet and kind of take a look at the last four games and say, all right, let's not wait to the bye week. Where are we right now? Let's evaluate the things we need to do. What do we like? What areas do we need to improve on? And red zone is one of those big areas. I know, you know, as far as scheme, I'm sure it's a little bit different. I know Ole, when he was at Oakland, they did very well in the red zone. And, you know, so we just need to take a look at and find the skill sets. And even the play that we scored the touchdown, it wasn't like we hit it right in stride. You know, it was a scramble and Hearns made a play on the run. So, you know, give credit where credit's due. That's what took place. So, you know, I think we just had to continue to find ways to put the ball in the end zone creatively if we have to.
All right, Scott. Okay? Thanks, Gus. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.